We've done a fair number of podcasts on the humble Bunsen burner, and that's not surprising because it's the go-to piece of standard laboratory equipment that almost all students have access to throughout the, I'd say, the first and second world. It's a standard a little gas burner. Everyone identifies it. Everyone knows the term Bunsen burner. It's just a little, almost a little industrial chimney with gas pumped to it, and a little window which can be opened and produces the flame, which is universally used by students everywhere to flame test things, to heat things up. It's a general go-to useful thing. And we've covered just some of the basics of how it's constructed, how you light it with a match moving up the side of the barrel, moved on to an exclusive mods for people who are interested in doing a little bit more. And that was the last podcast where I covered changing the shape of the output using a mist generator to imbibe the appropriate salts into the tube, putting coaxial wire up so such that you can run a current through the flame, and also having a tube which goes up so you can actually inject salt or things from underneath the flame. These are sort of interesting little mods. There's some other things which are probably unusual. The construction of a little paperclip, refolded paperclip, which creates a axial wire which goes up through the flame and glows from dark infrared to bright white as the temperature goes up. As a lesson, I've described a lesson with it. But as this is Peter Hill Explains, and I discuss things scientific, I think I'll go and discuss sort of reconceptualization of the Bunsen burner and a new sort of thing that you can do. So this is to build a Bunsenless Bunsen burner, so to speak, out of standard pneumatic parts. These are basic things you have around the laboratory, and you can reconfigure it to your needs. I don't know about the safety sign-off of all these things, but they're sure to be in excess of what we do at the moment. They'll have to be looked at. So this is strictly for researchers and for other people who want to listen in to see how it goes. With this, without further ado, I'll go into describing a ring Bunsen burner, reconceptualized Bunsen burner, which you can build, and sort of another mod which I'm sort of slightly interested in. So for this, you'll need pneumatic tubing. So the pneumatic tubing is probably 3 millimeters across, fairly heavy plastic. It can be cut with a scalpel. And it pushes into pneumatic press fit holding. So you just cut the tube, and there are these female receivers, a little bit bigger, and you just simply push in and it grabs and seals. That's all you do. There's nothing more complex than that. And then to release it, you press the collar at the rear, at the holder in, and this releases the ferrule and allows the tube to be removed in and out many times. So as you've guessed, this is a gas delivery system. In the very basic form of this, you'll need something to couple to your gas supply, and then four T sections. So if you can imagine a T section, it goes from 0 to 180 degrees through, and it tees up at 90 degrees. So you can introduce three pipes to each other, and they form a T junction. So you'll need four of these. Now, the first, so what we'll do is that we'll build a, conceptually, I suppose, build just a ring with, say, about 7 centimeters. that's probably a bit much. 7 centimetres of tubing, three sections of 7 centimetre tubing, and we'll build a ring. That is, one T section goes to another T section, hooks back through a third T intersection back to the original one. So you have three T intersections at one at and we'll call them 1, 2, and 3, and they go around say, for the purposes of this, to imagine it, the bottom one, number 3, T intersections at 270 degrees, number 3 intersections at 30 degrees, at number 2 intersections at 120 degrees, and it forms a complete loop. Obviously, we're going to later on cut one of these sections and introduce a another T intersections to get the gas in. So we have these several these three T intersections. Just going through it, and onto that you add roughly a short in the spare ports, which are pointing out. You add a 2 centimetre piece of tubing, and this is where the gas will emerge eventually, and onto those. So we now have a circle with three spines going out at 30, 150, and 270 degrees going around. Just trying to work out whether I've got that right. Whether it should be 60 degrees, I can't really imagine it in my head. If it was 60 degrees, it would be wrong. Onto that, you place something which is a broad hypodermic needle, but not a medical one. The one used for glue dispensing. So if you order epoxy glues, you can also order a whole wide variety of tubes. So you can get pretty much a wide variety of gauges, the widths of tubes, and a wide variety of lengths, keeping this a short, relatively small width. You'll have to experiment with this. Obviously, the longer you have it, the greater the back pressure is, so that's the easier you can control it. Longer and shorter. So if you get a very large, say 0.5 millimeter diameter needle, you'll get far too greater gas flow, so you're aiming for a needle much less than that. Unfortunately, this is conceptual stuff. If I had the equipment or was back in the lab, I'd be able to whip this up pretty quickly. So you've got these three needle gas jets, and you can obviously see that they will at this point in time, they could be pointing out or pointing in, and what you have to do is adjust the orientation of these needles so they intersect. The gas intersects in a region above the center axis of this tube. So not pointing parallel, but pointing into the axis. If you point it too greater an angle, say at 45 degrees, you'll create some turbulence when they mix together. Into one of the rings going around, you at the base, one of those 7 centimeters, you cut that, cut it back, and introduce a fourth gas import region, which you will eventually rig up and connect to your gas turret tap. So at this stage, when it's and with stage, you'll have a conversion down to the pneumatic or air pressure tubing, and you'll connect that up to your ring, your little flat plastic ring burner. When you attach the tap. So you can test this without gas initially with compressed air to start off with, but you attach this to your tap, and the gas will come out of the region, but the gas, rather than just blow up, will actually unite at a distance and form a floating flame. So this general idea of floating flames was used many, many times to create small floating flames on optical fibers and components. That's where you have two or three gas jets pointed together, and where they intersect, they go into a laminar flow if you have the pressure low enough, and it's avoid the turbulence. You can have just quite eerily floating in space a flame, and in this case you can get a quite a nice flame which floats in space. Now, of course, there may be safety concerns about a floating flame in space, but it's quite a nice thing to do and control. So three you can go for more, but two you can have. I suppose it's probably a little bit more tricky to actually get it into a stable base. Three gives you a stable base for it to sit on your laboratory bench. The nice version of this is that it sort of reconceptualizes the Bunsen burner. It doesn't have the tube which gets dirty and accumulates stuff. The air mixes freely with your jet. The flame can't go back into your needle just due to the pressure, the velocity of the flame. So you can actually turn the gas jet right down, and your little flames will just sit just a little bit a millimeter away from your needles. As you increase the pressure, the flames will travel further and further away. What would normally happen is that at a certain distance they will just blow out, but because they encounter opposing flames, it creates a floating flame. So it's a general lab technique, but I think is a sort of reconceptualization of a Bunsen burner, from a central tube to a ring of flames pointing on the inside, and there's a sort of a number of advantages for them. And I think essentially moving away from the old idea of a fairly large rubber hose over basically what is water fittings. So the current use of gas taps is a modification of water taps. So those the rubber tubing going over the ridges is a conceptualization for water taps. This is moving more into the more modern era of using gas fittings, press fit gas fittings, and pneumatics, and also making something much smaller, and the flame floats in the center. Now, just before finishing this, one of the things that very much interests me is whether you can get a tube up the center, heating up, but introducing an ionic solution, and then drive a current through that, because the flame itself is conducting, the ions are conducting, and the idea of ion conduction is that you have a flow of ions in a particular direction. So would be interesting to me if, depending on the current flow, you can actually see the increased ion current flow in the colour of a flame in this experiment. Now, as we work through the explanation of using a current Bunsen burner, you have one on the internet, you can visualise it, have it available. So that's in general what for discussion with students, a slightly higher level for people who have equipment around the lab to play around with. And this is the next highest level, probably pressing my descriptive abilities to the maximum. for a podcast, but describing how you would build a ring reconceptualized Bunsen burner. If you do have a go, have some success, please email me telling me your success or otherwise or insights, and we can share this and hopefully build a more interesting variety of equipment, which is important that students are exposed to, because even these subtle little things they see once and they will incorporate into what they're doing. So it's got a good educational direction in the end, but we have to go through several paths of iterations out there. And in this case, I'm actually popping the idea in the podcast world and hoping people overseas or even in Australia will get it around to actually constructing this reconceptualized Bunsen burner made out of pneumatic fittings. Thanks for listening. This is Peter Hill Explains. In the meantime, keep on doing, thinking, and explaining science.